Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And 3, 2, 1. Another week of footy is ready to rock. Hear every minute live here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For McDonald's, we are Triple M Footy.
And it's nice to be with you on a Saturday afternoon, heading towards the AFL at 3 o'clock. It is the Giants taking on the Swans. Then, of course, 5 o'clock right here, the Doggies taking on the Panthers. Wendell Sally, you'll be calling that game?
Yeah, I can't wait.
And we'll, I think, and you as well.
Yeah. I will be there. Banquest, sideline.
Great stadium. And you know what? It's perfect conditions at that stadium. The afternoon games can get a bit dewy and slippery.
But
3 o'clock would probably be better at Bankwest Stadium.
Yeah, last week the Eels Warriors game, it was really good, and we saw obviously so many points because it was dry and they were throwing the footy around. But at night, the players do say it gets a bit slippery.
We did see two of the best Fens, Don't Argue as well, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Sivo.
How good. Was brilliant.
You know, any young player in the game that thinks, you know, just entitled to big money, I mean, you got to earn that right. I've heard from good sources that Sivo's only on 80 or 90 grand this year. And that happens. That's your first year. So there's no doubt he's going to be upgraded. But, yeah, 80 or 90 grand and he's scoring tries, he's playing some good football. And I know, and then you earn the right to get your bigger contracts.
Yeah.
It's great value, but you wouldn't have signed him for any more than that when he hadn't proven himself
yet.
Because
often they sign
players on big money just based on potential, but then they don't come through with the goods. So, yeah, his next contract, obviously, he'll be worth way more money than that.
Yeah, and that's...
Imagine if Semi comes back, too.
Exactly. That's a discussion that we'll also work around Jesse Ramian, who we'll talk about, who is no longer with the Knights. Drama there during the week. I think we can talk some Ashes is what we're going to do.
Good.
Stewie Clark, who obviously one of the great cricketers of all time, one of the Australian Test players, and New South Wales, also works with New South Wales Rugby League as well. He joins us right here, right now.
And legend bloke, too, to go with it, so...
Actually, he's not there. He's just gone. We will get
Where's he gone?
He's going to be there in a second.
He didn't want to be... on if you're making stuff up saying he's a legend. So we thought, no.
He's an absolute champion.
No,
bloke.
He is.
Yeah.
Saw him at the Sharkies game the other night.
Yeah, good.
Young fella went into the sheds after the Sharkies game.
Okay.
So
huge fan. Well, I hope he was with it when the Prime Minister heard his hand bashing.
I don't think he had. No, he was outside. I was having a chat to Stewie, so I don't think he was witness to.
He's here right now. G'day, Stuart.
I was going to say g'day guys, but that's incorrect. It's g'day guys and girl.
Yeah,
indeed it is. Were you there in the dressing room when the Prime Minister last week had the team song-related injury?
No, I wasn't, mate. I was actually standing outside talking to Emma, waiting for my son to come out. He gets to go in and sing the song after, you know, part of his payment is to get to sing the team song for being a ball boy. So, it wasn't there. It was an unfortunate incident, though. You know, you got to be careful of those bins when you hit them too hard and your hand's not really up to it.
Absolutely. But before we get to the cricket, obviously a huge game for the Sharks this weekend. The Rabbitohs, we mentioned earlier, I think it's the top 17 for the first time.
Yeah, it is. I think without sort of knowing exactly who the Sharks can and can't put out on the field, it's been they've just been hit by injuries all year. And Wade Graham's back, Matt Moylan's back, Fafita's back from suspension. So, but it'll be a good game. The Bunnies, they're a quality team. You know, you guys have been talking about them all year. You know, are they contenders for the title? And if the Sharks want to go any good this year, they've got to win tonight.
All right, well, let's head overseas to the Ashes, the first test, Edgbaston. There's been some great moments, certainly. The Steve Smith century was one for the ages, just brilliant. But then, sadly, last night, England have really taken control, just 17 runs behind Australia's first innings, only 4 wickets down. I don't know where to get to first. Before we go back to Steve Smith, let's just talk about that bowling attack. As a bowler yourself for Australia, were you surprised that the names that were read out yesterday are the ones who were, you know, doing the job?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's funny. I did an interview early in the week and I sort of went, got to be Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins. And that got shot down in a blaze of glory because it was Stark, Pattinson. Sorry, it was Cummins, Pattinson and someone else. Not really sure. People were talking about Hazelwood. And then we left Stark and Hazelwood out, who have arguably been our best two bowlers in the last sort of 3 years. And look, Peter Siddle, you know, he's been a fine bowler for Australia for a lot of years. And James Pattinson, to credit, bowled pretty well to get himself back in there. But I just thought we lacked a little bit of potency yesterday watching the game. Pattinson was good and, you know, Cummins tried hard and Siddle, there's no lack of effort, but I know as a batsman, having to face some of these guys in the nets over the years, if you wanted to face someone, you'd rather face Peter Siddle than Mitchell Starc or Josh Hazlewood.
100%.
So, yep. That's the bit. I don't know whether they're injured or they're out of form or whatever it may be, but it was an odd selection. I know there's five tests in the series, but you want to go all guns blazing in your first one. And I think Australia, unfortunately, missed a trick yesterday.
I agree. It seems to me there was an attitude for them to go in with a bowling lineup where they could do some containment. So I have a Peter Siddle who could hold up an end, not leak quick runs, and the thought that maybe with if it was Starc, maybe they could get a hold of him bowling quick. But that you've got to get people out.
Well, you've got to get 20 wickets. You want to win the test match, you've got to get 20 wickets. Nathan Lyon, look, he can do that job by holding up an end if you don't want to go for too many. And Pat Cummins could probably do that job as well. But I just think we missed a trick. And I don't know, as I said, I don't know if they're injured. I don't know what the theory behind it is. But I know all the batsmen, the English batsmen, when they saw the team list, they were saying, happy days. I don't have to face Mitchell Starc or Josh Hazlewood here. And that's a good thing for us.
Well, all of the Aussies didn't wake up with a smile on their face this morning, but the morning before waking up to the news, a Steve Smith ton over the moon. Where does that ton rate for him, given everything he's been through?
Oh, look, he's obviously he was very emotional after the game, and he's very quietly spoken now. I think when he sits back and his career's finished, that'll be, he'll probably score more test hundreds, but given the circumstances, what's going on, the continuous booing, the jeering, and look, that's up to the English crowd how they want to treat that, but look, I think he'll remember that day as sort of a very defining moment in his cricket career where he reintroduced himself to us. And that sounds a bit odd, but he's been out of the team for sort of the test team for 13 months or whatever it's been, and now that he came back in, and to do it in a manner under pressure when wickets were crumbling around him, and just to be that solid rock in the middle of the order, it was a special innings. And I think listening to him talk in the press conference and stuff after that, and I think he was he'll savour that 100 as much as anyone that he does score. And but he's that good a player, he'll probably score another 20 or 30.
Yeah. Hey, mate, what about Rory Burns? Fantastic innings. And you could just tell when he walked off, and, I think it was one of the boys patted him on the back. One of the boys who was batting with just patted him on the back. And he just, is that what dreams are made of?
Oh, absolutely. It's Ashes Test match to score 100. He's not exactly pretty to watch. He's sort of odd when he, you look at him and you think, goodness gracious, what are you doing? Just stand still, mate, and hit the ball. But it's very, very effective. He has a little bit of trouble, I think, outside off stump. But, if you bowl anywhere near his body and his pads, he just milks it to all parts of the ground. So a very special thing. What he does have in spades is courage and ticker and the ability to concentrate for long periods of time. And, look, he wore the Australians down. And, it's not particularly flashy or entertaining. And, he's not going to be one of those guys that, brings millions of dollars through the crowd in ticket sales. But, every team needs a guy that can bat for long periods of time, and he's doing that. I bet you Australia, if we had one of our top order that could have done that, we probably would have got more than 278 or whatever we got.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a little sense, though, back with the Steve Smith. Although the booing, it was loud, it was there for when he walked out, when he got his 50, when he got his 100, and when he was out as well. But there was a kind of a sense of the boo, well played, boo, well played. The mixed messages, wasn't there?
I should boo here, but I don't really want to. It was a really good inning. There was a bit of that in there, wasn't it?
Exactly. What happens now? That's a bit of a dry deck. Should England get a 150 in front, even more? It's a tough ask.
Yeah, look, it's a huge ask for Australia. But in saying that, if they can pick up two or three quick wickets, which has been hard to do, they're still in this game. England's still 15 behind. They don't want to let the lead get any more than 100, because then it becomes really scoreboard pressure. England have got bowlers that can bowl for long periods of time and bowl well. They get the ball to swing around better than we probably did in our bowling innings. So Australia are very much, they're still in the game, but it's so important that, we say it in every test match, that first hour of every day, you can turn the game on its head. So the three quicks and Nathan Lyon need to find a way to break through that England top, the England top order in the guy that got 100, and then get Ben Stokes out, Moeen Ali out, and then get into the bowlers. Because you've got to remember, England are Jimmy Anderson down, or we think they're Jimmy Anderson down. So there is a big workload on their other three bowlers.
Yeah. All right, Stuart Clark, as ever, it's thanks so for funny. Talking to us. That was terrific. Boo, well played. Boo, well played.
Cheers, guys.
Catch up soon. Mate. There is Stuart Clark. Good next, man. We'll throw some things on the NRL stock market right here on Saturday, Triple M NRL.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
All right, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor, here we go. I'm going to throw a few of the hot issues of the week at you and see whether you buy or sell or do the cowardly thing and hold. I think I'm going to begin with the stripping the ball rule. There's been plenty of controversy over the past couple of weeks with penalties given or not given, with the idea that you can now use some kind of code word, really, is one thing I think what players are doing. So maybe two, three people in a tackle, two drop off at the code word. I know they have to whisper, Jodpers. So two players drop off and then you can strip away. Is that, I'm going to say right here, right now, the strip rule needs to be dumped. Emma Lawrence.
I agree with that. So I'm buying that.
Okay.
I'm buying that because I think there's too much confusion and the refs, they got all four of the match officials got dropped from that Warriors-Eels game last week when there was confusion over had they dropped off yet? Was there one in the tackle at that stage or two or three still? I think it's, we've got so many grey areas in our game, so I don't think that that's just creating even more confusion. And the fact that coaches or the players have figured it out and they're rorting it, and coaches who are usually pretty, you know, mild-tempered, like Steve Courtney, Trent Robinson came out and was spraying it as well. I think, yes, I'm buying that. Not a fan of it.
Because it's difficult, isn't it, if you're the ball carrier, how many people are in the tackle? You have three on. Do I know? Have they dropped off? How many people are there now?
Yeah, but I'm the opposite. I like it. I like the theatre of it. When they get it right, I look, at the moment there's a few teething problems. I think, you know, you learn how to wrestle on that and you're strong, and I think for players too, you have to be more accountable with the ball. And sometimes when you're, like, wrestling for the ball, you're sort of thinking, is he going to try and strip it or what's happening here or is the other guy still on me or not? And then when you get that sort of call, I sort of like it. I just think if they get it right, I'm more than happy with it.
But if you know there's only one play coming at you, ball security goes up because you think they can take it. But then so you might back off slightly because three blokes are smashing you.
Yeah.
Not knowing that in a split second they can drop off and it gets stolen.
But I think that's a skill to say. Okay,
yeah, they're training for it, aren't they?
Yeah, you call rainbow or something. So rainbow means you'll fall off. I'm not saying that the Dragons, they call rainbow. But
is that what they call rainbow?
No, there's a word that they'll all use, no doubt. Because I know when I played at the Dragons, someone go high and lock in, you'd have to say a word. And that means that you've got him locked up so you could drop off.
So there is code word.
I have to use code word.
You can see the Raiders clearly doing it. The timing was very good. Josh Hodgson is probably the best at it in terms of the person who does the stripping. It's terrific.
But even, I tell you, when we saw Cam Munster, he's just good at doing it one-on-one because he's just so strong and, you know, and his technique too. And Cam Smith's good too. Okay. Technically, they're very good. So, yeah.
All right, well, talking about grey areas in the game, there's an idea floating about that's supposed to take one of those grey areas out of the game through technology, the introduction of Hawkeye technology to adjudicate on forward passes. Are you buying, selling or holding, Wendell?
No, I'm not buying. I think we've got enough technology in and around our game now. And, you know, we don't rule on forward passes and people say, you know, we should. But, you know, what our game was so good at is not so much interpretation, but just, you know, you call what you see. And I just think the more that we bring that into it, the more that there's more, I suppose, you know, cameras and angles and stuff. And I don't want it. I don't want our game because it takes away from what our game is.
Yeah, I agree. And with all the technology as there is, it slowed the game down a lot more. So how many more stoppages are we going to have? And that changes the dynamic of the game. And looking at value for money as well, that bunker cost an absolute bomb.
Yeah,
and
even though it may have
improved the rate of correct calls, it's still probably, some would argue, not worth the money. And I'm not a fan of bringing
It's tough, that technology. I mean, the mathematics involved is quite astronomical, I would have thought. So, you know, the touch judges have to be scientists in white lab coats running down just working out. All right, Ivan Cleary was in the news all week after what was alleged to have been a confrontation in the tunnel with a referee. Now, we heard from what it was alleged to have been said. He admitted that he did speak, but there was nothing to it. The NRL basically said the same thing, that he wasn't charged with anything, fair play. So I'm saying to you, Ivan Cleary received the appropriate punishment.
I think he did. I'll buy that purely because I think he got lucky because you can't prove it because the match officials didn't hear it. So if he directly said something,
there's reasonably out there.
Yes, but because there's doubt over whether he said it. And I know in his press conference he said, oh, I may have, but when he was asked, but perhaps he was saying, maybe he genuinely was saying, Jimmy Tamo, tell them they're all over us, you know? Whether it's directly, I mean, Ashley Klein and Tamo walking together, whether you're talking to Tamo or Klein, you know, they're right there together. So it doesn't make a whole heap of difference. And I think it's fine, because if you can't prove he directly sprayed Ashley Klein, it's not worth it.
If he walked up to him in front of him and like and had a go at him in the dressing, in the sort of the hallways or whatever, mate, I would say fine. And then obviously coaches take note, this is what's going to happen. But because he did it in a way where there was obviously someone else there and you couldn't really prove it beyond reasonable doubt. So, I think the right call was made.
There were, discussions that he basically was sending out a terrible message to young players and various other people. But in reality... But if he hadn't been reported, if it hadn't been a witness to say, this is what he said, it was in the tunnel. No, the referee himself didn't hear. Nobody else kind of heard. Right. I think, just move on.
And as a player, I like that my coach is sticking up for me. I like where he's going with that.
Yeah. All right, we spoke to Dobbo a little bit earlier. We talked about Kevin Walters not getting that job at the Titans. I'm putting it to you on the stock market. Kevin Walters will never coach an NRL side. Wendell?
Oh, look, I still think there's time for Kevy to coach in the NRL side. I know he's enjoying the rep season at the moment at Origin, but I think there's always a club's always going to need someone like a Kevin Walters there, not just as a head coach, but also as a mentor. I still think he's got time. So if I'm him, I'm not giving up hope yet, because his coaching merry-go-round, as we've seen over the last couple of years, things can happen real quickly.
I agree. You're never really safe as a head coach, are you? Because as soon as the club is struggling, you are the first person everyone blames. So we've seen over the off-season the merry-go-round that's already happened. So I think an opportunity will pop up, whether it's one that he's interested in. Maybe he would prefer to stay on the rep scene, but I wouldn't put a line through his chances.
Yeah, but even if I'm Kevy too, look, I'm not that much in a hurry to coach. I know that it's one of his goals to want to coach week in, week out, NRL, and obviously mentor players, isn't it? But he's got the best jobs in the world, Like at Fox Sports, he kills it there in the media, and then obviously the Origin job,
So best of both worlds, having a bit of variety.
That's right,
he probably likes that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. All right, there's your stock market. Jesse Raymond, where will he end up? We'll have a chat about that next. Plus those Tigers beating the Cowboys 28-4 on that Tyre Power scoreboard. Read his mail as well and look at the games ahead on Saturday. Triple M, NRL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. For McDonald's, Triple M Footy.
Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Jesse Ramian had the world at his feet. Terrific season for Cronulla, one of the bright young centres in the game. Made that move to the Knights. Now just a few weeks left in the 2019 competition and the Knights fighting for a place in the top eight. He has been let go, not just dumped from this game, but he has gone from the Newcastle Knights. Here is how Nathan Brown, the Knights coach, described it.
Jesse Ramian hasn't had a fallout with the coach, hasn't had a fallout with the senior playing group. It's not because he ate steak and eggs or whatever everyone wants to say. The reality is, I made a decision with two or three other very key people in the club that Jesse isn't happy at our football club, so it's in his best interest not to be here. You won't find any of the playing group and their staff saying anything negative about Jesse. He's a decent young kid. And I'd be surprised and disappointed if Jesse said something untoward about us, because we've all made him our best, tried our best. But sometimes it just doesn't work out for whatever reasons.
Where did it all go wrong, Em?
My understanding is that as soon as he'd signed with the Knights, so they got a pretty good deal, because he'd signed before he had a couple of really good games for the Sharks, and then all of a sudden there were more clubs after him and everyone was saying he's going to be the star of the future, an Origin player.
Yeah.
So the Knights are thinking, okay, we've got a good deal here. But as soon as he went up to the Knights, apparently they wanted more money, and his dad was very pushy and saying, you need to try and get some more money, and trying to tell Gavin or his manager, we'll either get
Jesse
more money.
Jesse Ramian's dad?
Yes. And so he's Jesse Ramian's dad has gone and tried to shop Jesse around to other clubs, has called the Sharks very recently and said, are you interested in having Jesse back? And then that got back to Nathan Brown, and he has said, well, you know what? I probably should have dropped him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Perhaps after that Roosters game, could have easily dropped him then, but stuck solid and said, If you have an issue, come and speak to me. Don't go and, get your dad shopping you around to other clubs.
Wow.
So that's, good on Brownie. That's a massive call when they need to win all of their games going forward to get a final spot.
But I think it sets a good standard for your club and just lets people know that in and around your club, like whether it's your manager or your whatever, if you're not happy, come and talk to me. I've been coached by Brownie, and Brownie's a mate of mine. He's old school, but he understands he's got to move with the times. if you're not happy, well, like, don't be there. But you gotta make sure that you're putting in for the team. And Brownie's big on that, you know.
Yeah.
If you come into a team environment, it's not just about you. I know when I came back to the Dragons after being suspended, Brownie just sort of, mate, I'm going to put you in a reserve grade for a while. You've got to earn the right to be there, and this is what you've got to do, and this is how, you know. And people thought Brownie might have been too much of a bit of a boy's boy, you know, sort of, you know, relax, have a beer, have a bet. But let me tell you, when Nathan Brown's on and when he's coaching, he's got a great football brain, and I just think, me personally, I just think that's great for both Jesse Ramien and Nathan Brown, because I've got no doubt when Ramien got there, you know, when you sign somebody to go there and you just think that a player's not happy, he just hasn't looked and been at his best this year. And if he's got that sort of...
Yeah. That undermines the rest of the team when that happens?
Oh, of course, 100% it does, yeah. But I think you as a player too, you've got to be happy where you're at. Like, he hasn't even been close. I know the second year's always harder when you're playing football, but like at the Sharks, they obviously, and there's players there that can get Jesse Ramien playing like the way that he wants to play. And at Newcastle, I think he scored 2 tries this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, it was kind of like, as soon as he went there and signed... perhaps regretted signing, like a Tyrone Peachy.
Tyrone Peachy, yeah.
So as soon as he signed with the Titans, you know, there were suggestions he wanted to get out of it, but then apparently we found out it was just over $50,000. Once he got the money he wanted, he was fine to go up to the Titans, but it's never really looked at home. And it's similar with Brownie. But again, open discussions, going to the coach saying, maybe I'm not happy with this, but doing something behind everyone's back. I know he got a couple of years ago annoyed at Nathan Ross because he, you know, Nathan's just an honest guy, was asked about his pay in the media, said he wanted to be paid more and thought he deserved to be paid more. And Nathan Brown said, I'll have none of that, and put him back to reserve grade. So he has standards, Brownie. Oh,
anyone in this day and age that is a head coach that takes 1 year contracts on, you know, obviously making the eight or whatever, like Nathan Brown has. Brownie could have signed 2-3 years there when they were going okay, and, you know, everyone's going, oh, look, you know, he needs to do something this year. He's got the roster that he wants now, Brownie, so that's why he wants to, you know, obviously play football, finals football. But, like, he's a bloke of integrity, and I like where he's at, and I just think Newcastle would be crazy not to have him there for another, you know, a couple of years.
He can play Jesse Ramien. Where does he end up then?
Well, there'll be multiple clubs after him.
Dogs need him.
The Dogs are looking at him. There were reports that the Tigers were looking at him, but when we did that game during the week, I spoke with their recruitment manager and he said, we can't afford him. There, as it is, the Tigers have told Josh Reynolds to find a new club. They've got Madalino and Packer on, you know, 700,000 plus. So the Tigers can't afford him. Perhaps the Dogs, there will be. The thing is, he may not get what he wants, you know. If he may not get 500 plus.
That's right.
Or, you know.
If I'm Jesse Ramien, I'm biting the bullet. I'm going back to where it started. I'm going back, not so much about the money, because that big money will come over the next couple of years. If he gets back to being happy, playing good football, the Sharks need Jesse Ramien. I think it's a two-way street. They'd both be good for one another.
But isn't his unhappiness about not being paid enough? So
That's right. But, I mean, he's going to have to give a little bit to get a little bit. Depends. Does he want to get back and play his best football? If so, Jesse Ramien would be a good move. It's up to John Morris, obviously, there now. And I know Flanagan coach Jesse Ramien, but those sort of things are going to come into conversation.
He can't play at all now, though. So that's it. Can he run around in the local Newcastle competition, I don't know, for the Maitland Pumpkin Pickers or the Cessnock Goannas, the Toronto Scorpions? Can he ever run around like Macquarie Scorpions, actually, in the ground?
He probably would be able to, because he's technically still contracted. I mean, he's not training. He won't be going to train with the first grade side.
Yep.
But, I mean, they'd be wanting to fast-track it and get...
So he hasn't moved in. So he's still like... So he's not... So he's still contracted?
Well, they haven't ripped up the contract.
That's what I mean.
They haven't ripped it up, but Nathan Brown said he's not returning to training.
Okay.
Right, okay.
So you know what you do? You put him back in reserve grade. He goes back there and plays for us this season or whatever he does. And then even, I'm telling you now, sometimes you can get ahead of yourself. And you think, you know what? Playing at that level, understanding and respecting the position that I had.
Is this an example of why we could have the transfer, the trade window? If this was, you know, happening, you know, around the Origin as it's been proposed, maybe the week after, you know,
I think this is a bit different. I think deals are done anyway. Look, if Jesse Ramien wasn't playing, he was playing an arrow every week. I think it's for the players who are on the bench, who are not getting a go, who think, okay, you know, I want to get an opportunity. There's an opportunity to open up at the West Tigers. I think it's a bit different, this one.
Mail. Yes, Reedy's Mail indeed, that man being Brent Reed. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Reedy, how you going, buddy?
Oh, G'day, Joe. How are you? I'm good, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd the footy go? Was it the kids' footy you're at?
Oh, don't start me, Tony. Well, tough day, mate.
They had to win, didn't they, to stay in?
They had to win. They led 1-0. My son scored the goal. Missed a penalty as well. He'll get hauled over the coals for that tonight. No food for him. But led 1-0.
Father of the year.
Led 1-0 with 5 to go. Conceded a goal. Unbelievable.
Reedy, you're doing the right thing there. I'm all about tough love. Look at Tristan now, mate. He's killing it, mate. Because,
a bit of
tough love.
Reedy, would that...
Stand on right, just spoil a child, Bill.
Yeah. Would that have anything to do with the fact that you cancelled training during the week because it suited your schedule?
Well, it's cold then. They played so bad the week before. They was horrific on Saturday. After the game last Saturday, I pulled them off the field. I got them on the group. I said, boys, you got what you deserve today. Worst performance of the year. I just can't training.
Oh, you're not coach of the year.
Yeah. Reedy, you're like the Giants netball coach who last weekend talking to one of the Diamonds who was back playing the Giants and didn't like what he was seeing.
Oh, right, from the Magpies,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, was quite kind of very straightforward. She said, can I get some positives? I'm just hearing negatives.
Yeah.
So you're kind of those tough love kind of coach, are you?
You can't sugarcoat things, Tom. Right. They're 11 years old.
Yeah.
Experience the world.
Oh, Craig Bellamy wouldn't have cancelled training. No. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, well, shots fired.
He'd have been spitting after it. Why they played last week. He would have stormed out of the box.
Yeah, would he have been spitting when Christian Welsh went down with his 14th ACL?
Well, that's a really sad story, right? Yeah. Because it's actually his good knee he's done this time. If you remember earlier in the year, he thought he'd done his ACL. And in a panic, he's got an option in his deal in Melbourne. He took up the option. He then, when he found that it wasn't his ACL, he went back to the club and said, look, I might have panicked a bit. I might have jumped too early. He went back on the open market. He got George Mimas, who's a really respected manager, to look after him because he was doing it himself. And George has been in talks with Parramatta. Now, I'm not sure where that is now because he's now obviously gone and done his ACL. Parramatta are going to have to have some more discussions about what they do about Christian Welsh, where they press ahead, because they're also obviously in the mix for Regan Campbell-Gillard. It's a really concerning story for Christian Welsh because he's been one of those guys who's toured all the way in Melbourne. He's probably stayed there for unders in the past, and his option would have been unders as well. And this was probably going to be a good payday for him, but now I think it's in jeopardy because he's now done the ACL on the good knee. So, really tough night for Christian Welsh. We'll see how it plays out at Parramatta now.
He sounds like a cracking bloke too, just what he does off the field, in and around. And I think I saw something the other day where he was going to get paid for something and then he said, make it out to my charity.
Sports. Yeah, he
make
did.
It out to my charity or something. Yeah, I know how that feels. That's great.
that's one of the reasons Parramatta wanted him, because of what he brings off the field. Yeah. Wasn't just on the field, it was what he could have done for their culture and the sort of guy he is. So, look, I don't think it's dead and buried with Parra, but obviously they'll have to revisit it now because, I mean, doing an ACL now, he'll miss the start next year, maybe halfway through next year before he gets back. So they're obviously going to take all of that into account.
That's true. And we do pay Wendell straight into the Wendell Saylor Foundation.
Actually, Reedy, can I ask, did you hear about the story about Christian Welsh in and around Origin? Were you on air when I told that story?
No, what was that story?
So he got like 25, he bought 25 tickets for his mates for the Origin, obviously when he debuted. And then what he did was he paid, and where they were staying at the hotel or the pub, he put a $5,000 like a drink on the bar so they could have pre-drinks before the game.
Wow.
Out of his own pocket.
Like he's a really smart guy too. I mean, he's gone to Harvard and done Harvard.
Yeah, I think he went to Harvard,
He went with Ryan Hoffman during the off-season and did that. I think it's a one-week sort of management course. I think he's doing his MBA. Christian Welsh, really, really smart guy.
That's great.
One of those guys in the Sydney market. He could, make a real name for himself on television as well.
All right. Speaking of movements, we've been just chatting about Jesse Ramian and his disappearance from the Knights. Where will he appear? What's likely? What are you hearing?
Yeah, look, the Storm have discussed him as well. It's an interesting one because remember earlier in the year there was a lot of talk about Curtis Scott and what Curtis Scott might do, and I don't think the Curtis Scott issue is dead and buried yet. I think there's a chance that maybe Curtis Scott might leave at the end of the year and come back to Sydney. Now, if that happens, I think Melbourne will have a good hard look at Jesse Ramian. They have talked about him internally, but at the moment they're not going to push ahead with him because obviously they don't have a spot for him. And Oliver's doing a great job for him at the moment. But, if Curtis Scott does go, I wouldn't be surprised if Melbourne take a look at him. Now, he might be done and dusted by then because there's a handful of clubs that are really seriously looking at him. The Sharks, the West Tigers, North Queensland, those sort of clubs having a good hard look at him. Parramatta may revisit him, or may visit him as well. So he may not be around at the end of the year or when the time comes. But you know, Melbourne have, had discussed him. They're not pressing Edwards at the moment. But let's just see what happens with Curtis Scott before we put a line through them.
Because he started at the Sharks, and I think part of the reason why that he moved away from there was because I'm not going to say it's some bad influences, but his mum and dad thought, you know, he needed to go somewhere and be a bit more disciplined with his footy. So and then he moved to Melbourne, and Craig Bellamy, the best in the business.
What about in the coaches' circle? There seems to be a bit of pressure on quite a number.
Well, it's interesting, Tony. I don't think there's any pressure on any of them towards the back end of this year. I think all those guys will survive.
Yep.
But I reckon the start next year, you're going to see some. You're going to see some pressure like we've never seen before. There's at least five coaches who will head into the next year under immense pressure: Paul McGregor, Dean Pay, Paul Green. Steve Kearney and Nathan Brown. Now, Nathan Brown, he might even, you know, depending on what happens over the next 6 weeks, Browning could be under. He might even get the start of next year. But, you know, we've had a relatively calm season. I mean, Garth Brennan's the only bloke who's, from memory, it's hard to remember everything that's happened this season, but Garth Brennan's the only one that's been outed. But I reckon heading into next year, there's going to be five coaches at least under immense pressure to keep their jobs. It's going to make the start of next year really interesting for those guys.
Yeah, five coaches. Ah, yes. The intrigue never ends in rugby league. Reedy, as ever, thank you so much. We'll catch up again next week.
Got to go watch some video time, pour over the kids' performance.
Oh, mate. You're next level, mate.
Coach of the year, there is Brett Reed on Saturday. Triple M NRL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy.
All right, Manly taking on Newcastle. Let's have a quick look at this game. As we mentioned, Jesse Ramien, just one of the changes that Nathan Brown has wrought at Newcastle. But some good names back, Lachlan Fitzgibbon. What are you looking forward to, Wendell?
Oh, look, I think to see how see what the Knights can sort of create there, because you know they've gone for the ball the last couple of weeks. Manly, for me, to go down there with that mentality last week, to beat Melbourne down there, and that'd give them some confidence. I didn't really think that Manly would be a top four side. I just thought, you know, they're playing, you know, they're going to crash at some stage.
That's what they're playing for, isn't it, now?
Yeah, they are. And they showed me with, you know, there was different stages that Melbourne could have, you know, won that game, and I suppose Manly at the same time. But also, I think more so, this is more important for the Knights now. If they want to make the top eight after the Ramien incident, you know, they haven't played their best. They've played well in patches. So, look, for me, I can't go past the Seagulls, but I just want to see the Knights got a bit of steel in them.
I can't go past Manly either, given it is at home, but I wonder how much last week really took out of them. I'm really looking forward, though, to remember last time Manly played up in Newcastle earlier this season. Adam Finua-Blake and Dave Clemmer went at each other. Adam got binned. He was getting booed by the crowd.
He's giving it back to the crowd.
There'll
I like
be
that.
A little bit of feeling in there this afternoon, I imagine, which is what we want. It adds to the theatre of it.
And the winner is...
Manly.
Winner is Manly for both you. And quickly, of course, you're here from 5 o'clock, the Bulldogs and the Panthers. Who wins, Wendell?
I can't go past the Panthers. I think the Panthers will bounce back here. Bulldogs have tried hard this year, but they haven't got the confidence to beat the Panthers.
Panthers as well.
Okay, there you have it. So 5 o'clock. Now it is the Giants, of course, taking the Swans. Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.